Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast. It is August 2nd. 2023, unless you're listening to this at a later date, perhaps on Radio St. Pete on Sunday evenings or on podcast, but you can join us live on Wednesdays around 4 o'clock. We seem to have nailed that down right at 4 p.m., an unusual time to do a live stream, but alas, the power of the internet, the power of time, we've come together, and by we, I mean myself and the one, the only Anna Hummel.
Crowd Wild.
Our podcast has not been nominated for Best of the Bay. I am very sad to let you know this news. I know that you were on pins and needles waiting for the announcements and the nominees. And I looked, we were not nominated.
Yeah, I actually looked on that today. I got an email from my jiu-jitsu gym about Best of the Bay. And then I just thought, you know, maybe I can just cruise around and see who's on the list for radio person. Yeah, no. So.
Yeah, really, really kind of bizarre, the nominees this year. I didn't recognize many of the names. The Bone wasn't really well represented outside of the two mainstays of the station, and one Mike Calta and one Drew Garabo. I believe I even got nominated, but they must have like trimmed down the list this year or something, because those were the only Bone people.
Strange. Like Hot 115 wasn't even on there, I noticed.
No, I think Sam was on. Oh, no, she's on Magic now. So it doesn't even count. Oh, no, Scotty
the
Body.
Wasn't listed.
Oh, for best radio station, are you sure?
I think I checked the list twice, but maybe I missed it. I don't think I did.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe
I was just like, wait, hold on a second. That's strange.
Yeah. So that's disappointing. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, I was talking to, I know that Mosh Jelton, who's affiliated with the Johnny B Show, he does the Wednesday rap roasts, and he's been on the show a bunch of times. He's been on a lot of the Bone shows. He's really lobbying hard to win best radio show. He wants the award, which I get it, but I'm like, it doesn't do anything for you. It's not going to get you more listeners. But it's just kind of some sort of prestige factor to it where you go, I won this award. I mean, Ryan Hoppe's won the award many times. So
honestly, it's not about the award, and it's all about the party to me. Like, I've said this for the last, how long have I been in Florida? 7 years. I just want to go to the party, and I'll never get to go. Never.
Yeah, you know, Johnny said that you have to pay to go, that they'll give you a reduced rate.
If you're nominated, you don't get a free, you don't get a ticket.
Even if you win, I think you still get to pay to go outside of a few. I'm sure there's a certain amount like the people that they do want there and don't want them to, you know, have to pay. But I think he had to pay to go last year to get his award.
Do they announce the winner before the party and then the winners go, or they announce it at the party?
No, I think you're notified. You're notified via email. I won one year for my open mic that I ran many years ago at Sly Bar, now Tap House 50 or 61, Tap House 61. And they did send me an email and let me know that I won an award. I don't think they said what it was. And I was all excited years ago because I thought it was the best podcast award. But it turned out because I really lobbied hard for it that year. And it was embarrassing and humiliating. And I go, I'm not doing that anymore. So I guess I'm not going to have a Best of the Bay. And Mosh sent me, he's like, check it out. And I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. But it's like, Mike's going to win. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's no way. It's just too popular. Maybe Drew, but, you know, Mike's got the number one show in the market, man. He's going to win that award. And he doesn't care about it either, but he wins every year. I mean, I get it. But any hooser. Yeah, I don't even think we were nominated. I didn't ask for nominations. So we weren't nominated. Very disappointing. I wish that your boss would let you say that you do this podcast, though. That would help a whole bunch. In fact, because I'm such a spiteful human being, I used to put in the description where to find you at. And since I found out that he will not allow you to mention this program, I took that out.
I don't think he said that.
Oh, I thought that was a deal that you weren't allowed to promote this thing on.
Well, you're not really on the show.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, on the show. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can, like, on my social media, but, like,
you don't use that. Yeah.
Right. So.
So I'm so spiteful that I took that out of the description.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Big loss. Sorry. Big loss on his end. I know. But hey, fight fire. I got to fight fire with fire, man. That's all I can do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome to the program. Happy to be with you. You can get a hold of us. Anna, you can't get a hold of Anna because she doesn't use social media. You can get a hold of me. Home_made_man is my Instagram and Twitter. The Johnny B Show is nominated for Best Radio Show, which I thought was really cool. Yeah, very cool, because there was three programs from the Bone that were nominated for this award. The Mike Calta Show, Drew Garabo Live, and the Johnny B Show. So good company there. And yeah, again, we know we're not going to win, but that's cool that people thought about us enough to nominate us. That was great. If you want to get a hold of the show, did I already say this? 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. You can donate if you want to. Venmo Will Koontz. I'll send on a half. I've been a man of my word with that. Even if it's $5, I'll send her $250. I don't care. And we appreciate that. So we got a lot of things going on in the world, Anna. First thing I want to talk about is the manatees. Did you know the manatees are having orgies in the water?
I feel like this is a yearly thing that comes to our attention. Last year, Bubba caught them having like a full-blown
orgy.
Sex party right on the beach.
Well, there was a story last week of Hugh. Hugh is the manatee at the Moat Center in Sarasota. Do you know where that is? The Moat Marine something? It's some sort of, I think it's a rehab facility for, you know, wild manatees and dolphins. I think they got a bunch of stuff there. It's like a research lab and they kind of get them, you know, healthy again and stuff. Hugh died in their care at the Moat Center, and they didn't really know what happened. They found out what happened to him. I guess this was last week or 2 weeks ago. Hugh was sodomized to death by his brother.
What?
Yes. Hugh the manatee at the Moat Marine Science Laboratory in Sarasota died from getting his colon ruptured from some sort of sex act with his brother, manatee. Apparently, they're very promiscuous, and they'll get it on with ladies, dudes. They don't really care. And there's a lot of marine life that is like this. I don't know if you're aware. I've told this story many times of going to SeaWorld with my mom when I was a young boy and going to Dolphin Cove and going downstairs. They had a big glass window and you could kind of view the dolphins. And there was many dolphins in this aquarium. And the little male dolphins had their little hook ding-dongs out and they would run up and bump up against each other. They would bump dongs. And I didn't really know what was happening because I was 7.
Right.
And I just heard my mother cackling like a hyena and then yelling, "They're having sex with each other." She may have had a Bud Light or two at this point. And that was very embarrassing, but I learned a lot that day. I learned that sea creatures are horny, and I don't think manatees are any exception, obviously. It's manatee mating season, it says here, according to Axios. Pinellas County Sheriff's Office posted on social media during the weekend with a reminder, if you see them going at it, if you see some sort of pod and they're fighting, it looks like they're fighting in a way they are, Don't worry about it. And do not call the sheriff's office. This is a public service
now. What are they expecting the sheriff to do? Break it up?
Like, I guess. Yeah. People are stupid. I mean, people are dumb. They're worried. Like, are they killing this manatee? They're endangered.
No, they're thinking that the manatees are like having a seizure or something.
Yeah. And people love manatees. You know, they don't want them to be hurt, or, you know, they know that they're protected species and they're, you know, people have a soft spot for them. So they just want to call the authorities. They probably call 911. They don't know what to do.
911.
But the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says don't go near them either. It's dangerous. Manatees are large, strong, and focused on mating. You don't want to end up like Hugh. Let's just put it that way, okay? Getting too close could end into some serious injuries for humans, and it can interrupt the nature taking its course. Nearly 400 manatees have died this year per FWC data, and we're just a couple of years away from an unusual mortality event that saw more than 1,000 of the beloved mammals die in 2021, so this mating time is crucial. Manatee mating consists of a bunch of male manatees stumbling over each other to try to get under one female manatee, according to the FWC. The female manatee usually hangs out in shallow water while the males come and go throughout the day, literally. Peak mating season is in the summer. If a female manatee gets pregnant, she'll carry the baby for about 13 months. That's a long time. Manatee calves stay with their mom for about 2 years. If you are concerned about a mating group or you see an injured or dead manatee, don't call the sheriff's office. Call the FWC Wildlife Alert Hotline, 800-404-3922. Manatees, Anna. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, my God. How long did you have that one locked and loaded?
I just thought about it just now, but it's an easy one. Yeah.
It's pretty good, but pretty boomer. So,
yeah. Yeah. You ever see the manatees getting it on? I guess your boss did.
Yeah. He showed me videos of it. I think maybe I've seen like a pod or two, but nothing really aggressive that I've seen in real life. It took me 7 years to even see an alligator in this godforsaken state. So I see lots of dolphins, though. I see lots of dolphins. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Not so much manatee orgies or manatees sodomizing their kin, which I would be interested in watching because, you know, I'm weird. But
It is disturbing. Speaking of big fatsos, you know, myself, I did the fast this week. I did my fast a day early.
The
36 hour monk fast. And I did it yesterday and last night. And then I got on the scale this morning and I gained 2.5 pounds.
Wait, so you weighed yourself after a 36-hour fast and you would gain 2 pounds?
2.5 pounds.
Huh.
What's up with that?
What's wrong with your body?
I don't know.
I mean, unless you're drinking an S-ton of water, which is fine.
I might have, but I don't think I drank that much.
Yeah. So when was the last time you weighed yourself prior to the fast? Or
last time I weighed myself was Thursday morning. Because I did the fast on Wednesday last week. So I did it on Monday night and then Tuesday. And then this morning at 7 a.m. it ended. So I figured, oh, I should be down in the 230s now, the way it's going. Cause I lost like 5 pounds each time. And this time I gained 2.5 back.
I mean, did you do it up bad this weekend?
No, maybe. I don't think so. Not really. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's wrong with your body, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, and it's so funny because, like, I so want to call you out for lying or cheating, but I trust you and I believe that you are being honest. So you've stumped me, and I feel like I know a lot about the science of diet and nutrition and fitness. So I don't know. It's just one big question mark. I don't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be water. It could be maybe I was dehydrated last week and didn't have enough or something, but 2.5 pounds seems like a lot. I was shocked. You know, I don't mind if it's either the same or, you know, maybe a half pound or something, but there should be some sort of progress with,
well, I think in order to get a more accurate picture, you probably need to weigh yourself at the same time every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a bad weekend and you gain, let's just say 7 pounds, just throwing it out there, and then you lose 5, but you've gained 2 since the last time you weighed yourself, now in your mind you've gained 2 pounds, but really you put on more than that and you took it off when you fasted. So I feel like we need more data points than just like once a week.
Okay.
I need more data. I need every day, same time. Like when you wake up,
yeah,
is probably best.
Okay.
And we can track it a little bit better because right now we have kind of a blurry picture. So to make it more in focus, we need more data points.
Okay. I'll start doing it every morning and see what's
going on. Right. It's not like you're going to Publix once a week.
The only thing that I got on the Prime Day sale this week was a scale, or a couple weeks ago.
Is it one of those cool ones that doesn't measure more than just your weight sort of thing?
Just the weight.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like $16. So I was like, okay, this all is... Right.
I wasn't sure if it's like, oh, and it's BMI. Oh, and it's visceral fat. Oh, and it's this.
Yeah, for some reason, I think that those can't possibly be accurate.
They're not. They can't. I mean, maybe they're... I've been talking to you about this. Maybe Chris, maybe my friend Aaron, but I don't think that they're highly accurate. Or if they are, maybe it's just like, you know, within 10%, 5%, something like that. So
Yeah. I opted not to go that route, but it is strange. And I kind of did it on Tuesday because I'm going out of town. Oh, by the way, no podcast next week. I'll be out of town.
That's right. You'll be in Alaska,
the great unknown. The last frontier.
Awesome. I would love to go to Alaska.
It's like 60 degrees.
Cool. You are getting as close to the Soviet Union as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
Without touching.
That's without right. Touching. You can see it from your house, though, mm-hmm. I hear.
Some places, yeah.
Yeah. So, that should be great. 60 degrees there. Looking forward to that. But I'm obviously not going to be doing the fast out there. I don't know. Maybe I will. Depending. I don't know if there's like places to go eat out there. I mean, maybe if there's...
Anchorage, right?
No, Fairbanks, which is like the middle of the country a little bit.
Okay.
It's like a 3-hour plane ride away from Juneau, the capital.
Right.
Because it's so big. Alaska is humongous.
It's a giant state.
Mm-hmm.
And not very populated. So it sure is the Great White North, the unknown.
You know, we had a caller on the Johnny B show call in and he goes, hey, you guys introduced me to the monk fast a few weeks ago and I've been doing it and I'm down 20 pounds, I think. And I go, oh my God, that's awesome, buddy. And he goes, yeah, I do it twice a week. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so that's kind of why I thought about maybe I switched it to Tuesday. First of all, Wednesday's a long day for me. Wednesday is I got to go to work. I do the podcast and then I'm up late doing the Johnny B show and stuff. So it's kind of a long day for me.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to be, it's fine, but if I can go to bed 2 hours earlier, you know, if I can go to bed at 10:30 as opposed to 12:30 and sleep during that time, as opposed to being awake during the fast, I'm going to do that. But then I thought maybe I'll try to do this, 2 day a week thing. I'm afraid that people are going to be like, all right, you're getting a little too extreme here. That's not good. But I thought, well, maybe I'll do it this week to see the results or see if there's any results.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next week that will kind of take the place of doing one next week since I'll be on vacation.
I don't like the idea of like shotgunning fast. And I'm fast every single day, you know, between 18 and 20 hours usually. So is there any possibility that you could just do longer day-to-day fasts and not shotgun a super long fast, especially if you're not really used to it? Because I think you're usually doing like what, 15, 16 hours?
No, I was doing the, what is it? So 6 hours eating and
18
off.
All right. So you were like, it's not like you're needing to eat every 4 hours.
Right.
Like you're used to not eating. All right. Well,
I'm gonna try it out.
I always forget that people's bodies are different. You know, what may work for me really well may not work as well for you. Granted, we all work, you know, within the realm of, you know, quantum mechanics. So, you know, some things work for everybody just better for others.
Right.
So I would just say trial and error. That's kind of what I've done my whole life is like, this works for me. This doesn't work for me. I can eat this. I can't eat this. So,
Well, I'm going to see. I'll see what I feel like tomorrow. I don't know. I kind of want to try it just to see what happens, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, maybe I could just go here instead. FatCon.
Oh, no.
This is my people.
How about your tickets?
This is my people, Anna. Philadelphia is hosting FatCon, the first conference to celebrate overweight people, and I should be celebrated because I rule, and I'm very special because I'm fat. That's why. Thoughts? Would you like to go? I don't know if you'll be allowed to.
No special tax breaks for blue state Republicans.
Where's that?
Oh, is that related to?
This is another story. This is from the Washington Examiner. Oh, and they have another link to a story.
They're not giving you a discount. What's going on? Interesting. So, like, what kind of things will we be able to find at FatCon? Just snacks, or I imagine there's not a lot of walking going around. So,
yeah, it says the organizers aimed for the conference to be a judgment-free event focused on creating a community for fat people by fat people, recognizing those who are often overlooked because of their size. You literally can't miss them. I don't know.
Yeah,
what they're talking about, and an opportunity to navigate this fat-phobic world and society in a different way. The conference will supposedly feature panels discussing fashion, navigating fat phobia, social media influencing, of course, that's huge, and a keynote speaker known as the fat sex therapist. Okay, I'll look her up. Do you want to go? Yes or yes?
Yes, I do. You know the answer well.
I think you would really have, when I saw this story, I go, Anna would really enjoy this a lot.
Oh, most definitely. I just wonder if I then, because if it says it's a judgment-free zone, but I feel like if I walk in, you know, with my super jack delts and my six pack, I feel like I will be judged.
Do you want to see the fat sex therapist?
I, of course, would love to see the fat.
There she is. Thoughts?
Lots of thoughts. Expectations. Fulfilled is the first thought.
Oh my God.
Sonali Rashatwar. Is she, I wonder what she is. She like Syrian or something?
I would guess Pakistani if I had to guess.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I'm not sure. Let's see if it says here. I know this is probably, okay. Most of the images specifically concern fat liberation, but Rashatwar also touches on topics like gender, capitalism, relationships, porn, and disability through an anti-oppression, anti-colonial lens, whatever that
means.
That's
just a broad range.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm an expert on gender and also capitalism. I don't know if you know that. It's like those two things.
Those are
not at all even in the same stratosphere.
If you hear anybody talk like that, you just go, okay. Whenever I hear anybody talk like that, if I'm having a conversation, I go, okay. And then I just end the conversation because there's no point. Yeah, no
psychology,
point.
Economy, economics, philosophy, religion, porn, colonial. It seems but she's a fat sex therapist, but she somehow is also a master of economics as well. So,
yes.
It's interesting. She really is a Renaissance woman.
She wants you to know that fat liberation requires thin traders. She wants you to know there is no superfood that will cure your ableist fear of disability.
Wait, hold on. I need to read that again.
Yeah.
There is no superfood that will cure your ableist. I'm an ableist. My fear of disability. Okay. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Your fat body deserves pleasure without condition.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You don't have to be thin to be androgynous or non-binary.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Who's going, like, is there some redneck that's going like, you gotta be thin if you want to be androgynous?
It's weird how like there's in-group fighting because you think the people that are like fat and like queer or whatever or non-binary, like they kind of hang out together. But apparently there's like a lot of in-group fighting where, you know, you can only be, if you're non-binary, you better be skinny. Like, I can't imagine that being a thing, but I guess
that's the thing with all of this. It's like, who are you talking to? Who right. says nobody says yeah. this stuff? This is stuff.
Go to just, Fat, Will, I got to go to FatCon.
I think you would love. I wish we could somehow.
Dude, we gotta go.
We gotta somehow get you in there. We
gotta
get
you.
The
last one, Will. You can't forget about the last one.
Yes, being fat doesn't erase your white privilege. Of course not. Why would anybody think that?
Being fat doesn't erase. Oh, I see. So you can be you're privileged and
you're oppressed. Okay. You're oppressed, but you're also have since you're oppressed, you have the ability to bitch. So that's a kind of a privilege in a way. You can complain.
Okay, so like and, the highest form of, I don't want like victimhood. You got to be brown, queer, and fat. Like that is the trifecta. Does that sound good to you?
I guess. Yeah, I guess this is a thing. But if you're white, just still remember that you're white and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Buy food you'll actually enjoy, not just foods you'll eat aspirationally. Okay.
No, that's horrible advice. Because then you're just going to eat cupcakes.
Right, because they're delicious. But that's what you should do.
You think thin people don't like cupcakes? You think thin people like salads more than fat people? No, that's a lie.
I love
cupcakes. I love them. I love donuts.
I can't
but
believe.
I tell myself I can't have them all the time because that's a problem. So,
how did we get here? Where this person is highlighted in the Philadelphia magazine.
How did we get here? Like, what was the first step in this direction? Maybe feminism, right? Is that kind of like a first step?
I mean, it's
one of those things where it's
critical.
Know, feminism. It's, you can make an argument that feminism was a positive movement in a lot of ways. And then you could say civil rights. A lot of great things happen because of civil rights. And then it just becomes like this runaway thing where you're trying to show progress, but there's really, I don't want to say nowhere to progress, but there's like nowhere to go. So you start running in weird directions where you want rights for pedophiles. And, you know, if you don't like fat people, you're somehow a racist bigot. You know, it gets really strange. So.
Well, I think it's critical theory is where this kind of, because all these things are brand, because then you got critical race theory, you got critical fat theory now, and it's all just the same language. They use the same language with all this stuff. Structural, it's a social construct, and they have their ending point, and then they just kind of work backwards to find evidence to go with that theory. That's what all of this stuff is. And it's clearly nonsense. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is nonsense. Nobody cares. You can eat whatever you want. I do not care.
Yeah.
Eat yourself to death. Don't care. If you're not one of my family members, I really don't care.
Yeah.
But it's not a structure of fat phobia. Like there are repercussions to doing certain things. You're not going to be able to get on an airplane if you take up two seats. You can't expect the world to bend to your
will. But you may have to pay for that second seat, and then people get upset about that.
And they get upset about that. Then they go, this is a structural thing to stop fat people. Okay, but you did this to you.
Right.
You're the one who did this, so you have to take responsibility for it. People, if everybody does this, first of all, everybody's going to be fat as S, and they're going to start dropping dead. And like the whole thing with I love that. Still love that video of that girl that looks like a fat version of you with her oxygen tank on, and she's like working out. And it's like, no, you're
like
not.
Like some Jewish chick from Canada. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm trying to think, Will, if we can pinpoint. I think this is an outgrowth of the participation trophy movement. If it's not called that, but whatever. Like when did that start? When do you think was there like an event that happened where it's like, we can't make distinctions between people who are, you know, not good, good, better. Like there can't be any sort of differentiation between like skill or intelligence or however people are awarded for things. You know, like I think we were talking about this on my show, the President's Award, you know, for, it was like for a physical fitness test. And that's gone away. I think Obama abolished that. He's like, no, 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 we can't be giving out awards for kids that are, you know, better athletes than other kids, because that makes them feel bad about themselves. Like, when that did that become a virtue to just equalize instead of celebrate exceptional, you know?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of weird because wasn't Michelle Obama's thing eating healthy and being healthy?
No, too? Actually, I learned this through this guy, Callie Means, who I've been following. It started off being a healthy food deal, right? But then a lot of the lobbyists for, you know, big food and pharma, because big pharma makes a lot of money off people being sick, and you, in order to be sick, you need to have a horrible diet. So she transitioned from food to fitness, like, get moving, everybody, you know, but you walk in two blocks. It doesn't really matter that you walk two blocks if you ate, you know, eight cheeseburgers. So that actually was a shift in the first lady's, you know, campaign on, you know, health or whatever. It was a food focus thing. And then they're like, oh, we can't mess with the money. We're going to do move your body fitness stuff. So, Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess
maybe it was that. Maybe it was like a long play for big food, like Coca-Cola, Nestle, those companies, where they're like, listen, we, and also big pharma, like, let's embrace the size that we are kind of stuff. And that way we can keep people sick. And that way they'll be cash cows forever. They'll always need medication. They'll always need medical intervention. Mm. Maybe that's where this all started.
Yeah. And it could be a lot of different, you know, reasoning and rationale. There is, to be tolerant of everything but intolerance is, you know, their whole motto, or sure, it seems to be. Like, but even though they're very intolerant of, I guess, quote unquote, normalcy, I don't know how else to say it. Whatever tradition, whatever kind of was that.
How do you define normal? Is normal the majority, or is normal like what's healthy? Right? Because I would say to be obese is now normal in some definition, where it's just like the majority of Americans are at least overweight. What is it? Something ridiculous, like, I don't know, 80% are overweight, 55% are obese. I'm kind of making up those numbers, but they're close. So to be fat is normal, kind of. Yeah. But it's not, but that's the thing. It's like, no one's probably going up to these adults going like, I hate you, you're fat. And if anybody's giving them any problems, it's probably kids that are like saying things, but it's like, you can't help. A 3-year-old is just like, why is that lady dressed like a globe? Like, you know, whatever, you can't help it. But it's about them not being comfortable with themselves. And then they have to project. So they're like, no, you actually need to find me attractive. And if you don't, you're a racist bigot.
Well,
it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's anything that was that kind of the like the school with the fitness standard, like being in shape, like that was considered a good thing. And all of a sudden it's like, no, that promotes, they usually go to white supremacy. Whatever was is,
which is odd, because
it's actually the opposite.
The black kids were excelling in sports, like, you know, so it's strange.
Well, whatever, it seems like whatever they want is the opposite of what everybody knows to be true. It's just the complete opposite. Oh, so they bitch about the social construct, but they're just creating a new one, and it's just flipped around opposite.
It's a vacuum. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's quite clearly wrong. I mean, just, you can't, the I'm healthy thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's wrong. You are not healthy. You are, you are statistically going to die sooner. And maybe you'll live to 90 years old. That's possible, but it's rare.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love this whole, like, obesity is like it's a disease now. Like, it's like, I caught it and now I have it and it's in my genes. And it's like, I suppose perhaps there's like an argument that some people are more prone to be obese, but obesity really isn't a disease. It's a symptom of a larger problem. And in fact, it's probably one of the better symptoms to have, because it's kind of like a, hey, warning sign, you probably are going to get diabetes soon. Hey, warning sign, you're probably going to get cancer soon. Hey, warning sign, you're probably going to have a heart attack soon. You know what I mean? So it's actually really good that it's like a visible thing that your body's ballooning up and you go, okay, I need a reverse course, because it's kind of a, not definitively, but it's definitely like a biomarker of what's probably going on inside of you, you know, nothing good. So,
but you saying that is evidence that they're right, that you're actually just being fat phobic and that's not true. So then they go, I'm confirmed in my beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, I lost
it's insane.
I don't know what to say.
If I ever hear any of those words, it's structural, it's a social, I go, thank you. See you later. And I just walk away. Can we talk? I know you got to go, but queen of the fatzos, I think, just to tie it all together, the legend. My God.
I tried to segue this into the show like 10 times today, and Bubba wasn't biting it, but I am obsessed with this story.
Look at her. My God. Queen of the fatzos. Three of Lizzo's former dancers are suing the Good as Hell performer, as well as the Big Girl Big Touring and Shirlene. Wait, as well as Big Girl Big Touring. Is that a person? And Shirlene Quigley, I guess so, for allegedly subjecting them to endure weight shaming, sexually denigrating behavior, and pressuring them to participate in disturbing sex shows.
How much fun is Tim Dillon having with this right now?
Oh my God. I saw his podcast this week is titled Free Lizzo. So I'll check that out later on. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But, plaintiffs Ariana Davis and Crystal Williams claimed that in the lawsuit filed on Tuesday and obtained by Page Six that they were eventually fired, while the third plaintiff, Noel Rodriguez, resigned over Lizzo's stunning behavior. While on a concert trip with the Grammy Award-winning artist to Amsterdam in February 23, the plaintiffs claimed that Lizzo invited them for a night out on a town, which ended in the city's red light district. The area is known for sex theaters, sex shops, et cetera, et cetera. There they are. I thought that these were men. But no, they're just other fat ladies.
One of them is trans, I think.
Oh,
maybe not the accusers, but
I guess that one
on the show. No, maybe that it was none of them. There was one that was
maybe that one.
Yeah, it was like, whoa.
Okay. The lawsuit states that things quickly got out of hand. They began inviting cast members to take turns touching nude performers, catching dildos launched from performers' vaginas, and eating bananas protruding from their areas. Downstairs. The suit also claims that Lizzo allegedly pressured and goaded Davis into touching one nude performer's breasts. The plaintiffs claim that just a month later, Lizzo deceived them once again into attending a nude show, thereby robbing them of a choice not to participate. Davis also claims in the lawsuit that at one point she had no choice but to soil herself on stage during an excruciating re-audition, fearing the repercussions of excusing herself to go to the bathroom. Is it possible that she just like housed a couple burgers and just had a little mud butt action? I mean, that's happened to me.
Anything's possible. But the story is, it's fantastic. Everything about it is great.
Look at her.
Sexual abuse.
Remember when Kelly told me that she could do more push-ups than me?
No. Kelly said she could.
No, Kelly said that Lizzo can do more push-ups than me.
I don't recall that, but
it was a long time ago.
Okay. And I mean, did she do a bunch of push-ups? I mean, I don't
know, because we were just saying, I don't know. It was just us talking about, like, because she wears outfits like these and goes, I look good.
Yeah, good as hell, actually.
I mean, I'm sorry. Again, it's like, I don't care, but come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. This is
a little
just a
bit
clown.
Of me, actually, probably more of like a lot of me, wishes I could live in this world, this like alternate universe where science isn't a thing and, you know, people aren't judgmental and everyone loves each other and you're beautiful and healthy at every size. Like, I wish I could drink the Kool-Aid, but unfortunately my brain works. And so it's just, you know, it just doesn't work.
Stupid.
It's, people might be happier. Who knows? You know, everything's a trade-off.
I'm sure they're happy.
Delusions.
When you live in a delusion, of course you're happy. course you're happy. And she's doing very well for herself. She's a good performer, a good singer. I'm not saying anything about her talent. She's very talented.
Making money, man. Yeah.
I mean, come on. And then the whole fat shaming thing is just hilarious.
Of course.
That's just a cherry on top with this whole thing. Of course, because the universe has a great sense of humor. There's a story of Lizzo, of all people, accused of fat shaming. And who knows, it could be bullcrap too. You know, a lot of times these people get what they reap what they sow with their ideology. Mm-hmm. Then they hire a bunch of lunatics and then they get sued for stupid stuff. So maybe Lizzo's completely innocent here. I don't know. But
I mean, I hope so. I'm a big fan. But this seems to be Ellen DeGeneres part two, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yep.
So
I can't wait to see the outcome. Anna, I know you got to go. Thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I hope that we can attend FatCon together.
We'll talk more about it on Saturday.
I'm going to be looking forward to that very much, Anna. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Much appreciated. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you. Please tell a friend about it. Share it. Follow me on social. Home_made_man. 813-693-2124 if you want to get a hold of the show. Thanks for listening. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.